Let's talk with the Illinois Policy Institute. They're the group we always go to for information about things going on in this state. And Ted Dabrowski's on the line. He's the VP of Policy at the Illinois Policy Institute, illinoispolicy.org. Ted, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking time to be on with us this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, Supreme Court's making some news. Illinois Supreme Court, anyway.
Well, they are. You know, they finally struck down a horrendous law that was passed in Illinois, and it was just another tax grab, a money grab by legislators. They ended up trying to tax these small online distributors who try to sell products for the likes of Amazon and other big stores, and they tried to tax these small groups. And when they tried to do that, they all left the state. Basically, with this Amazon tax, the legislature ended up with no additional revenues, hardly, and a bunch of businesses that left the state. There's a horrible plan, and the Supreme Court struck it down.
Well, at least they're all moving back, right, Ted?
Well, you know, some of them did. One of my neighbors down the street had to actually had to drive to Indiana every day to go to work. And then, once that law was struck down, he's able to work in Chicago in Chicago again.
Now, the Amazon tax, this is where we heard the words nexus and physical presence. And basically, you had companies like Fat Wallet near us, Coupon Cab, and elsewhere, because they were affiliates. Amazon, others said, we're going to cancel those agreements and thus force them to move out of state to continue those affiliate agreements. And as you mentioned, what ended up happening is virtually no increase in revenue for the state. People are already supposed to pay this tax. It goes on your tax form when you fill it in. This would have made the companies responsible for collecting it, right? And the company said, no, thank you.
Yeah, could you imagine? So you're a small online retailer. So the big guys can move to Indiana or Wisconsin. They have enough operations and they're big enough to move. But you imagine you're a two-person shop, a small mom-and-pop shop, and you help Amazon by, you know, helping them sell their stuff in Illinois. Well, now suddenly you got this law that says, you know, you've got to be responsible for effectively collecting taxes for anybody who's buying product. It just became overly cumbersome, and the small mom-and-pop shops had to close down, where the bigger guys like Fat Wallet and Coupon Cabin just moved right across the border and kept on going.
So where does this leave us now? Okay, you can come on back, and now we've struck that down. Illinois state government not taking this lying down, are they?
Well, you know, it's really silly for one state to try to pass a law that on its own, where there's really what it needs is a national solution. Basically, you know, there's this big battle to try to get the online retailers to pay more taxes, wherever they are. So Illinois would love to tax whomever they can that's operating in this state. But the fact of the matter is, what we need to do is we need to tax the online retailers that wherever they're selling from, you know, whatever their origin state is. So if they're selling from a state that has low taxes, then you'll see a lot of these online retailers locate in a low tax state. And states like Illinois, if they want to try to raise a lot of taxes on these online retailers, they just won't settle in Illinois. They'll just go somewhere else.
Ted Dabrowski with us, Vice President, Policy at Illinois Policy Institute. IllinoisPolicy.org is the website. There was a Cook County judge ruled it unconstitutional back in 2012, the Amazon tax, and the Illinois Supreme Court Friday ruled 6-1 that it's unconstitutional. So does the state still have remedy here? Can they appeal it even higher, or are we done in terms of the legal implications on this law?
I think we're done. You know, the state tried to operate in a vacuum, and a couple other states tried to do this. New York tried to do this, and a couple of others. And you can't do this kind of law where you've got national tax implications in play. And so I think we're going to have to wait for the battle to be played out in Washington. There's different ways to try to approach this, but I think what we have to do is be careful not to think that a new tax on a retailer on a certain type of retailer is going to be good for all the economy. I think it's a very dangerous tax that they're trying to impose on online retailers, and we'll have to see how it plays out nationally.
And then we're seeing that this violated what the Federal Internet Tax Freedom Act. What exactly is that, and is that something? Is that what you're talking about them having a look at on a national level?
Right. So there's two competing models. One is where you tax the person wherever they are, effectively. Mm-hmm. So wherever the buyer is of a book or something like that, it'll be subject. If there's a buyer here in Illinois buying from an online retailer in Florida, for example, then that online retailer has to collect taxes for Illinois and remit that money back in some way. There's another school saying that the tax should only be based on where the product is sold, so wherever that retailer is. And there's a battle between those two They're both complicated. There's a lot of mess in trying to do this taxing. So we got to keep it simple, I think, and that's really just a tax the online retailers at where they are located, and that'll make competition between states to try to keep their taxes as low as possible and attract those businesses to their state.
Ted Dabrowski with us, Illinois Policy Institute, Vice President of Policy. We've got to pivot here toward a little bit of pension talk. I found it ironic, I suppose, on Friday when looking at this. You know, the Amazon tax passed in the House and Senate with overwhelming margins in both chambers, and it ends up being ruled unconstitutional. But those same people are saying, hey, listen, trust us, we know for sure any kind of real pension reform is going to be unconstitutional. We know what's happening here. So they couldn't foresee that the Amazon tax was unconstitutional, but they know any kind of real pension reform will be unconstitutional. That's why they're not passing anything.
Well, you're right. You know, those same guys who passed that Amazon tax, they promised that it would raise $150 million in revenues and help the economy get strong again. The fact of the matter is that it only raised about $6 million, and they stopped counting because they found out that nobody was paying the tax. So it's the same guys who are now, President Cullerton of the Senate came out and said that we don't have a pension crisis. This isn't a crisis. And, frankly, when you hear somebody at that level say that about our state, it's scary. It's almost delusional. We've got a state that's crumbling because of pensions, and yet you've got the president of the Senate saying that we don't have a crisis.
I was going to say, Ted, that's the sort of thing, that's the sort of comment that actually draws more scrutiny than had he said nothing at all, because I agree with you that that's a very dangerous thing for someone in that position to be saying.
Well, you've got Moody's and all the rating agencies just, threatening to put us, lower and lower in our rating, which means that we're getting dangerously low to becoming a state that can't pay its debt. You've got all the civic groups saying that we've got a crisis, and to have him say that means either he doesn't get it or he's got a different plan. And I think there's a different plan going on in President Cullerton's head. He believes we need more taxes. We need a tax increase to keep paying for pensions. We had a massive tax increase in 2011, and that's given the legislature about $18 billion in new money that's all gone to pensions, and he wants more. And so, it sounds like he doesn't want to reform pensions. It sounds like he just wants more taxes to fund it.
Well, the reason why, we spent some time on this through the morning, the reason why, best I can tell, that John Cullerton says we don't have a crisis is because of the quote-unquote temporary tax hike. All that money was supposed to pay unpaid bills in Springfield. Instead, it's gone to pensions. And what he's basically saying is, as long as that money comes in, and perhaps a little bit more, it's not a crisis. We could always raise taxes higher, but that relies on the view that income tax money is going to the right place, which, it's going to pensions, but that's not what we were promised. We were promised it was going to go pay unpaid bills, and we were promised it was going to be temporary. John Cullerton is working off the assumption that neither of those things are necessarily true.
That's right. That was quote, a temporary tax. It was supposed to fix our state. But the problem is when you give these guys, and as I mentioned, we've given them $18 billion in additional money, when you fill the coffers like that, that allows them to delay reforms forever. I mean, why reform if you've got the money? And, basically what they're saying is they don't want to be held accountable for the failures of this last tax hike. They said they would pay down the bills, and they didn't. But we're going to have $9 billion in unpaid bills soon. The pension liabilities have grown by $17 billion, some big monstrous number. And the state is, we've got the second highest unemployment, and we're headed downhill. So for him to say that and to suggest that taxes are the solution for the state is just ludicrous. Frankly.
Though in the back of your mind, did you kind of suspect this is where we would end up going? That when it came down to it, they would just say, obviously we're going to need to jack those things up. We can't afford to let them to roll back to nearly where they were before.
Yeah, I think that's, I sat through a pension conference committee testimony where I testified, and two of the 3 hours the testimony went on was all about tax increases and why we need them, not about how we need to reform pensions. And they ignore all the facts that are out there about how expensive the pensions are, how we can't afford them, how they're just going to bring down they're going to cut into core spending of our state. They're ignoring all those things, and they're hoping that tax increases can solve the problem. But they got to remember, people can vote with their feet, and we've already seen that happening in Illinois.
Which leads me to think, Ted, that perhaps we're not really all that close to any kind of pension. I mean, I don't know if we are anyway, but really not close to any kind of pension deal, because, when the Illinois Federation of Teachers comes out and says, hey, we don't have a pension problem, we have a tax problem, we need more revenue. When John Cullerton comes out and says, we don't have a pension crisis, we just have a tax problem, we need more money. I don't think that there's really any way to move forward when that's the point of view of some of the main players in this negotiation.
Well, you know, we're following a track that just a few states are following, including California, and that's thinking that we can keep working our way out of this through more taxes. We had over 200,000 people leave the Chicago area in the last decade, and Illinois is losing nearly more people to other states than any other state, and they take their money with them. I think we have to be really careful. We may have, the Democrats still have the power. They still have the power to raise taxes again. They have super majorities in both chambers. And so if that's the route they want to take, it's going to take us along the same route as California. But, it's not a sustainable model. People leave, businesses leave, and at some point it'll flip. It's just a question of how long do we have to wait.
Ted, who has a sustainable model?
Oh, you look at, it's amazing how some of the zero-income tax states, like Texas and Florida, there's quite a few states that have low taxes or no taxes, and what they're doing is they're attracting tons and tons of people and businesses to their states. And that's how you grow the economy, right? That's how you create more jobs. That's how you get people off of food stamps, is through jobs and a growing economy, and not through more taxes. So I think, look at Texas. Illinois is not a Texas, but there's a lot of things that they do well down there, and they are competitive as hell, and that's what we need to be.
See, listen to Ted. He does this with facts and numbers and all that rather than, making it up and speculating like people who have been elected to something. Ted, very enlightening this morning. We really appreciate your time, really appreciate what the Illinois Policy Institute does as well.
Thank you.